Thank you for joining us today. This is Clint Byers, lead pastor of Forward Church. I pray this message blesses and encourages you. I hope it inspires transformative grace in your heart and establishes you even deeper in your new covenant identity in Christ. Now take a deep breath, become aware of God's Spirit within you, and enjoy the message. There's one aspect of the atonement that is so meaningful to me that I go back to often. And it's the moment when he's dragging the cross toward Calvary. And Calvary is the hill or the mountain where the cross was hoisted up. And he was crucified between two other thieves. But I think about this picture. So just kind of follow me. Let me just tell you a little bit of a story with this, what it looks like. And this is just in my mind, I see this playing out, and I've said this in this setting before, but just kind of follow me through this, and then I have a few passages I want to look at. But I think about, you know, Jesus, before he's going to be arrested, he knows it's coming, he allows himself to be arrested, but he prays, "Lord, if there's any way to do this, any other way to do this, let this cup pass from me." And that's an old way of saying, let this lot in life, or this thing that I'm about to have to go through, let this pass before me and let's find another way to do it. In our language, Jesus is like, "I ain't feeling this, God. I think I might want to try and do this another way. Do you have another way?" And then three times he prayed that. You know, we have to realize the humanity that Jesus was experiencing. He didn't necessarily want to face that. And not just the cross, but what was going to happen in the grave. But he did so. For the joy set before him, he allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to be nailed to that cross. And he remained humble and faithful to the Father to become your sin so that we could be free in him. Amen. But I think about this picture. And just in your mind, use your imagination. I see him coming up to the top of the hill. He's got the cross, it's fallen down, he's just brutalized and beaten. And I can imagine in a lot of, you know, most times when they're getting ready to crucify somebody, there's probably a struggle, you know, I'm just seeing this. And with him, because he knew that was his destiny, I can just see him laying down and rolling over onto the cross and stretching his hands out willingly. And then looking at the Roman soldier who was probably getting ready to have to wrestle his arm, you know, like they would have normally done. Jesus willingly would have laid his arm out and probably looked right at the guy and would have communicated, "I'm doing this for you." And I just see that. In that picture, I see myself as that Roman soldier seeing his hand laid out there with the nail in one hand, the hammer in the other hand, and I'm driving the nail, putting him on that cross. And he's looking at me saying, "I love you, I did this for you, and this is necessary for me to deliver you from your darkness, from your sin, and deliver you from death so that you can live with me." And it's difficult to understand. You know, we don't understand all the details of this spiritual element of atonement, but it's a reality. He had to come here, be in our place, to exhaust all of the judgment of God, to live perfectly, to be that sacrifice for our sin, for the breaking of the law, and then pass into the grave. And to me, it's fascinating that he passed into the grave like you, as you. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on that cross. He became like you on that cross. And then he died in your place, and he went into that grave. And in that grave, he had to trust God. He had to overcome the power of death. And I want you to just think about that, see, because now you live now by the faith of the Son of God. If you've said yes to Jesus, you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, meaning you have his capacities and strengths, you have the gifts of the Spirit, you have the Spirit in you. The Spirit of Christ has joined himself to you. You are sealed with the Spirit. There's a lot of ways to say that. Amen. Amen? But you now have the faith of Christ on the inside of you to live by. And you can lean into that. When you don't have hope, like Adam was talking about, and you don't have strength, there's a spiritual, actual, activity from the Holy Spirit coming into your heart, strengthening you, that you can draw on, that's greater than anything that you have on your own. And I want you to start to trust that. I mean, many of you do, and you honestly, we do it more on by accident than we probably ever do on purpose. But there's a capacity within you that you can draw on, the Spirit of God inside there, that's greater than anything that you know. And it will help you. God wants to help you. God's not interested in keeping track of all your little sins and you know, for the purpose of condemning you and making you feel guilty. He already exhausted all of that stuff in Jesus. I'm not saying go ahead and run on out and continue to sin. I'm just saying God is no longer relating to you based on your mistakes and your failures. He's relating to you based on who you are in Christ. Amen? And He wants to strengthen you so that you don't mess around with all that stuff that you used to when you were dead in your sin. Amen. When we were dead in our sin, He died for us. Yes. He loved us before we ever even thought about loving Him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Amen. That's one of the biggest things that I want to do with this ministry is change the way people see God. God is for you. God is not against you. This doesn't mean every little detail of your life is going to work out. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through difficult things, but God is for you. God is on your side. He's changed you so that you can be His son and His daughter walking in this earth, an heir of His kingdom, a co-heir with Jesus, representing Him. And I just want to see the body of Christ level up a little bit, you know, where we're not just thankful for our salvation. We're not just experiencing the blessings and the benefits of being a Christian. But we are actually walking in the mandate of the body of Christ representing His gospel and His kingdom on this planet. Amen? Because there's a lot of people out there that don't know Him. And it's not just about them getting saved. We want to see the lost brought in. But it's about God being glorified. God is most glorified when you are letting Him thrive in you and through you. And what does that look like for God to thrive in you and through you? Your desires change, your speech changes, how you make decisions change. And it's not just external behavioral changes. We're talking about the deepest part of who and what you are changes to the degree that you're not struggling against that thing that you struggle with. Anxiety is not an option for you anymore. Not because you walk around in duckies and rainbows and, you know, singing zippity-doo-dah all the time. You guys, little ones, know what zippity-doo-dah is? Oh, I forgot all the little ones are out there. You know, we want to be realistic, but we want to be realistic. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's in us, and we have the capacity to walk above and in such greater glorification of the Holy Spirit within us than we've been experiencing. So I just want to call you up. Let me read a little bit of this here. To me, just to put passage to what I was describing, this is Hebrews 2:14. Now, since the children have flesh and blood, say that's me. We're talking about you. Now, in this book here, he's speaking to Israelites and Hebrews, but we now see in Galatians that those who believe in Christ by faith are the true Israelites or the children of Abraham by faith. If none of that makes sense to you, I'll give you some homework. You guys want some homework? Y'all wave at me just to make me feel good, yeah. Listen, like three of you waved. What in the world? Go home and read Galatians, the book of Galatians, and read it tonight. Or at least this week. Or at least sometime this year. Now, but seriously, try and read it tonight. And if you only have time, if you forget and you run out of time, put it on your phone every time you're normally going to bed, put a reminder in your phone. Read Galatians 3 tonight, Galatians chapter 3. Would you do that? Because this is what we're talking about. I got some more homework and it's related to that. Anyway, here we go. So Hebrews 2:14, now since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. And I want you to personalize this as we're reading through this. So that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those, say free, those who all their lives were held in slavery to their fear of death. For surely it's not angels he helps, but the descendants of Abraham. Say, that's me. That's and we'll keep going, same selection, Hebrews 2:17. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. Now this, you have to understand this. Honestly, if you think of Jesus as being sent here by God, and he was the perfect one, and he's Jesus, and if you think of him as the bar that you have to try to live up to in terms of your obedience and your behaviors, then you will always be frustrated with your Christianity. I'm not saying you shouldn't have goals and standards and seek to glorify him in your outward obedience. You should. But more than that, deeper than that, you have to recognize he became like you. In all ways, he became like, in all ways, he was tempted as you are, yet without sin, so that he can set you free. He wants to help you. If you don't see it this way, I want you to change how you're thinking, which means repent, right? So say, I will repent. God is for me. So he had to be made like his brothers in every way so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God in order to make atonement for the sins of the people. Say, I'm a people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. But not only able, willing. He's willing to help you. God is absolutely for you. Interesting note here, this word tempted over in James chapter 1, if you're familiar with this, and that's another side homework if you want, and it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's the same word here. And then further down in James 1:13, it says, but don't say that it's from God. So this word here, temptation, is actually translated as tests and trials. Point being, God's not crafting little tests and trials for you to see if you pass it for some weird cosmic reason to be a blessing to you. God's not playing mad scientist in his lab with your life. He's not giving you flat tires. He's not giving you disease. He's not causing your kids to struggle. He's not giving you emotional and mental health issues. He's not doing that stuff. He's not creating the tests and trials for you. This world has plenty of that stuff. It just does. He's for you. He's not interested in making your life difficult. Now, does that mean everything's just going to work out and you're never going to have problems and struggle? No, this world is fallen. We live in the midst of sin and death. We live in this fallen world, but he's right there with us to lead us and guide us. Amen? Now, if you have the theology that God is in control, you're probably not going to like it here. Just so you know. That's probably not the best thing to say, right? We want you to come back. Wait, let me change that. I just want to, be honest. So, also too, I just had this phrase in my mind as I was thinking about this in terms of God being for you. Life's hard enough without God making it more difficult for you. I mean, really. And life's hard enough without you beating yourself up. So in other words, this is what happens. Most Christians, we make a mistake, we get, we fall into sin, we backslide, we play with our pet little sin that we like, and do you know why you sin? Because you like it. You want to. You get something out of it. It's not because if you're a believer, it's not because it's your nature anymore. You've been changed. You have the righteousness of God as your core on the inside of you. You have a new heart from God. You have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. It is natural for you to crave and desire righteousness and live within this holiness that God has given you. That is your spiritual, natural default. It's the old way of thinking that causes you to still slip back into that stuff, which is where we want to go with our Christianity, is renew our minds. You want to put on the new man of who you are in Christ so that you live out of the power of who you are, not continually messing around. And this is the ultimate point of where I'm going today is, for you struggling with the past, there are people, I get messages from just all over, friends, people that I don't know, people struggling with different traumas, people asking me to pray for their family members because 30 years ago they were abused and tormented and now they've struggled with substance abuse for 30 years. And it's like there's heavy stuff going on out there. A lot of you guys are going through things, A lot of you have all kind of struggles happening. And it's just not God's desire, Life happens. We live in a broken world and things happen. And it's not what God wants. because he gave us this planet and we messed it up. But he's right here to help us. Amen? He wants to help you. He wants you to be free. He wants you experiencing joy and peace in his kingdom, life with him. So if you fail, if you mess up, just remember Jesus went to that cross to pay for that thing. Not so that you get away with it, not because, you know, God's okay with it. He's not interested in you sinning. He's not interested in you staying in your darkness and that crassness and all that junk. You get what I'm saying. But go to him when it gets difficult, when that mistake happens. And make this like just a rule for your life. Cast your cares upon him, or this translation says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How many of you do that? Don't raise your hand. So let me say, don't raise your hand. But how many of you aren't sure how to do that? Just answer it in your mind, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's true. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of information here today. So how do you cast your care on him, right? Again, he came here to be made like you, to deliver you and set you free from these difficulties and struggles internally. You know, you might still have external issues and challenges. You're going to. I promise you, you're going to. But how you live through it is what makes the difference of your sanity, of your peace, of your capacity to be a blessing to other people, right? Don't you want to be a blessing to others? Don't you want that past just gone? And I don't want to be defined by that garbage anymore. It's not who I am. I'm free from that stuff. In fact, we even despise the fact that it still messes with us in our thinking, don't we? All that stuff that happened, you can be free from that stuff. Let me give you a couple of steps here. So how do you cast your care on him? And this is scriptural, but I'm going to give you a couple, but there's a lot actually in this. I have a series called Thought Life that's free on our website, that if you want more information on this, you can go listen to that. There's three or four really practical steps kind of throughout that series that will just give you more on how to engage Scripture, how to engage the Spirit of God, renew your mind, get control of your thinking, and keep your heart at peace and let the Spirit thrive through you. So you want to acknowledge that he knows what you're going through. So he's a high priest, you know, that knows, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through and he wants to help you, and you change your mind, otherwise known as repentance, right? So three steps. Let me get a little bit more technical here. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by doing better and acting perfectly and never doing anything wrong. Well, where does transformation start? By the renewing of your mind. How do you think? I mean, think about it. Do you ever think about what you're thinking about? Some of you too much. Like even me saying that is triggering, and now you're off and you're, come back. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can be radically different and at peace and free. Not just so that you get a nice, comfy, cushy little life, but because that makes you a strong pillar in the kingdom of God to be moved by his Spirit to be a blessing to other people. You know, it's just not about us. It's not about us having these nice, rosy little lives. It's about God being glorified through us. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You want to know what the will of God is? Well, when you renew your mind, you know the will of God. That's what it's saying. How many of you are ever confused about, well, God, what's your will here? What am I supposed to do? Well, when you renew your mind, you will be able to discern and know in that moment what God's will is. This is what it's saying. And that will happens to be good, pleasing, and perfect. Side note, a lot of times people will teach this as if there are three levels to God's will. He's got his good will, you know, that's okay. Pleasing will, well, you're doing pretty good. And his perfect will, good job, you hit the bullseye. There's really no context for that. These are three adjectives describing the one thing, the will of God, that's good, pleasing, and perfect. And how do you know the will of God for your life? Renew your mind. Good job. A plus. Who said that? I heard a few of you. How do you renew your mind? Don't you just appreciate the Bible? You don't have to figure this stuff out on your own. You don't have to be so spiritual that you sit in your prayer closet and pray in tongues for 7 hours and then figure out what God's saying to you. You actually can just go to Scripture and it's all right there. In fact, when I pray and I feel like that I want to be led by God, and I do, there's an in the moment, I need that spiritual guidance and leading. I've told God in the past, you know, I don't trust myself. I don't know that I'm spiritual enough to just be able to discern a message from you. I'd like a scripture. If you want to speak to me, I would really like a scripture to confirm it with me, just so that I know that I'm not. And the more scriptures I can get, the better off I will feel. You know, that's just, it's probably like Moses. So now, who again are you? You know, I want some evidence. So here we go. We're talking about renewing our mind so that you'll know the will of God and that you'll see God glorified in your life. It all has to do with how you're thinking. So Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Can you do that? That's not so easy, is it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition or supplication or asking with thanksgiving. So say thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Thankfulness causes you to be in a state where your heart and your mind are protected and guarded. And a guarded and protected heart and mind is more receptive to the will of God and to the Word of God. If you are not at peace and you're praying for direction from God or you're praying for something, I'm not saying it's not going to happen because God's bigger than all that, but consistently, if you're not at peace, you're going to have a real hard time knowing what step to take next, right? So how are you going to get to the place of peace? You guys see the value of peace? How do you get to peace? Say, keep reading. Okay, thank you. I want to go do that. But I just want to have this idea here. Your heart and mind are precious and you need to protect them. You need to protect them. And what you plant will grow. You have to think of your mind and your heart as a garden. And I'll give you a little bit more on the heart here in just a second, but your mind and your heart are a garden. And what's growing in there is what's going to be in your life. We all know this. We talk about this all the time in here. I just wanted to give you something super practical to leave here with today. So check this passage out here. This is Philippians 4, and we're going to read 8 through a couple of passages. So finally, say finally, brothers, whatever is true. Now, this is what you do. Ultimately, this is saying, think about these things. You want to stay at peace? You want to know the will of God? You want to put the Word in there, but what do you do with the Word? Specifically, what aspects of the Word? These right here. There's like 8 of them. This is a guide. If you will discipline your mind and your heart to think this way, your life will change. When you put the Word of God in there, it will have an effect on you. Y'all are quiet. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think. Say think. That's where it starts. I mean, everything you do starts with your thoughts, which then produces emotions and feelings, which then produces action, which then builds a life. And you can reverse engineer that. You find yourself in a mess, you can reverse engineer that process and find out, well, this is what I was thinking. Well, no wonder I'm still doing this over here. No wonder I keep ending up in this situation, because in this situation, I think this. And even deeper, what do you think about yourself in that situation? See, because we all have this self-portrait right here on our heart, and it's been painted by your life's circumstances, but it can also be painted by what Jesus did for you, so that your self-image, this self-portrait that you have right on the inside of you, is more affected by your value to the Father and what Jesus has done in and through you. That's putting on the new man. So here's what happens. You live your life, and this happens on a subconscious level. You don't even think about it, but you're constantly looking and checking this self-portrait. So I'm going into this opportunity for a job, and I'm meeting this person because I'm looking for a spouse, or I've got this situation with my spouse, or I'm this, and you're constantly doing this inwardly. You're looking to see, who am I? Who am I in this situation? And if that portrait is more painted by the abuse from your father or your mother or whatever happened to you, or the failures from your past, if that's still the image in the self-portrait that you have there, guess what's going to happen? You're going to live that out. And it starts with changing how you think, and then it starts to affect your heart, repaints that self-image on the inside, and then you live out of that. And what you have to know is that God's portrait of you on the inside is perfect. It's just like Jesus. If you could actually believe that about yourself, you'd live radically different. You wouldn't allow people to talk to you the way that you talk to yourself. You wouldn't allow yourself to continue into these situations. You wouldn't allow yourself to stay subpar in a dead-end job or whatever the case may be in your life. Identify the things that you'd like to see changed in your life, and I can almost promise you they are things where there are issues from your past that are still defining you and shading how you think about that, which affects how you make your decisions. It's really pretty basic, and we know this, and we all would nod and agree, but do you know how to change it? You do this right here. And I'll say this, if you have an area of your life that you'd like to see change, a very specific area, go into Scripture and find out, related to that area, your job, your intimate life, your relationships, whatever. Are you with me? Because some of you need some hope. Some of you are facing some transitions where you're not really 100% sure what the future looks like. But I'm telling you, this will put the Word of God in there. It'll change how you expect. It'll change how you see yourself. It'll change how you engage with God. It'll change your life. It just will, if you'll do it. You go through that list here and find within Scripture the areas that address whatever you're going through, and then you just make sure, am I in agreement? Do I agree in this area of life with what the Word of God says about this? Relationships, finances, calling. Are you with me? And then do it. Say, do it. And this is a key. Go to it with the intention. So listen with the intention to make decisions in agreement with God's logic and wisdom. You're actually going to do this stuff. So how do you know what is true and honorable and right and pure and admirable and lovely, excellent, praise? How do you know? Anybody want to take a guess? How do you know? How do you know what's true in that particular situation? By the Word. Yes. Amen. Good job. By the Word. That's the answer. And also, too, He is the truth. You know Him, and you know Him through His Word. Final passage here. And I love this, because this starts to give us some answers of what kind of beings we are and how the Word of God can actually affect your life. See, because when we think of the Word of God, what we think of is we think of the Bible, right? But the Word of God, let me just show you this here. This is Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, which is where your heart is. Your heart is in that place between soul and spirit. And we talked about this last week, but the receptiveness to your heart, the heart is where you believe from. You know, it's with the heart that we believe unto righteousness. Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow all the issues of life. God gives you a new heart when you get born again. In other words, that area where you live from that connects soul and spirit, that gets made new. And it's new after Him. It's a brand new heart. It's a brand new identity. It's the righteousness of God you become. He changes what kind of creature that you are. And that heart determines how receptive you are you going to be. How receptive are you going to be to the Word of God to let it have an effect on you? So it's not just reading the Bible. The Bible is one facet of the Word of God, but the Word of God, and again, if you want more on this, go back to last week's message and I expanded more, but the Greek word here is the word logos, or Rhema can also be substituted. I don't really try to make too much of a distinction there. But let me just run through this right here. So John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. So think about this. As you're looking at this, the Word of God is alive and active, and the Word of God gets down into your heart, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word manifested and became flesh. God, in the beginning, spoke the Word. Light be, land be, animals be, right? All the stuff he spoke the Word and it created. The Word is powerful and alive and active and creative. The Word is source, right? The Word is, to me, it's like God's spiritual code that is written into things, and if they weren't hindered, it would operate how he would want it to operate, right? With no bugs, no viruses, no sin, no death. It's just pure life is what he wants and what it should be. And that's what the garden was like, and that's what heaven's going to be like. And that is what's on the inside of you. That Word is on the inside of you. And it can actually have an effect on you. It's not just an idea. We're not just talking about words on a page. We're talking about something that's alive. Do you see that? Talk about spiritual, substantive Word of God, the life of God, active on the inside of you. So when you read, here's what you're doing. You want to believe it in your heart, and then you come into an agreement with your mind, and that connection is what happens, and it gets down in there, and it becomes a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this is how you experience transformation. So this is the process. This is elaborating on the process of renewing your mind unto transformation. How does me changing the way that I think? How does me getting into Scripture and reading it and meditating on it, how does that change in effect? Because, you know, the legalist would present it from the perspective of, here's what the Word says, you read it, and then you do it, and then the action produces the effect. And it's like, yeah, externally, but internally, you're still struggling with these desires. You still have these fearful thoughts. You still have, you still despise your mother because of her weakness. I mean, there's all kind of little details that get inside there that we deal with, and the Word can actually affect those things. If you let it start to shape you and change the way that you think, it will change your life. It absolutely will change your life. I promise you that it will. So let me give you some just insight. Chris, you can head on up. Your heart and mind are precious, and you want to sow the truth into yourself, and you will see godly fruit grow. Are you with me? All right. Take a picture of this. And some of you have these apps, some of you don't, but I just want to give you some tools, right? So, and we're not affiliated with any of these. These are just all different tools that all of us use in various capacities. But let me just say this. Read your Bible. Please. Would you please read your Bible? If you don't read it, listen to it. If you don't listen to it, read it. Those are the only two options, all right? You don't get out of this. You got to get it in there. You got to get it in there. I mean, what else are you sowing in your mind? What else is going to produce life for you? What else do you have, right? Oh, man, I tell you, life, I just don't know. Well, when's the last time you actually got into the Word and put it in there to let it have a change within you? And let it challenge you. Let it work on you. Wrestle with it. I don't know if I agree with that, God. Well, you know, you're wrong, but you have these feelings, but get it. You gotta let it get in there. You gotta let it wrestle and shape you. So listen to it. Read it, listen to it. I like the Dwell app. Dwell is a paid app. I don't think it's that expensive. How much is it? $30 a year. Yeah. And you can build playlists. John's really done this. I didn't even know till you told me about it. In the Dwell app, you can build playlists of passages. So you might have a healing playlist, and it's got a bunch of healing passages. Now, you got to take the time to put them in there, but it's a good exercise to take the time to do that. I didn't put this one on here, but one of my favorite tools is openbible.info. Openbible.info. You can go into the topical, you can just search a topic, and then you can take those passages and put them straight into a playlist. What's cool also too about the Dwell app is it has an annual reading plan. I highly recommend that. And then another feature is it will scroll the text as it's reading it to you. So, you know, if right when you wake up in the morning and you grab your headphones, pop them in, and open it up and listen to a chapter or two. And you can watch it scroll along and read. There is something to the reading of it, you know. And let it have an effect on you. Actually hold it in your mind and think about it, right? Because I'm just telling you, without the Word of God, we will not be the body of Christ on this planet that we need to be. And so the Bible app is free. This is the one that you're reading through. The women's group is reading through it. And you're doing specifically the Bible Project annual reading plan in the Bible app. But it's pretty easy to find. And then the Bible Project is great. The Bible Project has lots of great videos on YouTube that are free about different Bible topics. Go watch them. Get into them. I mean, it may be nerdy. I may be nerdy in that I like watching the book summary videos. There, to me, there's a lot of really good theology packed into those. So, do you guys remember your homework from earlier? Right. Go watch the video from the Bible Project on Galatians and then read the book. You know, there's just a few chapters. It's super easy. And then BibleHub.com is for the deeper study. You can get into original language study. But I ran some numbers. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament. That means if you read 8 a day, you can go through the entire New Testament in a month. Or 2 months for a day. It's a little bit more than a month, you know, a couple days more than 2 months. If you read it, if you do 4. I mean, let me just tell you, you have time to get 4 chapters a day in. You do. Don't tell me you don't. You do. You know how I know that you do? Let me see your phone. I'll check your screen time. You keep your screen time percentages if you want. Just get this part in there too. Are you with me? Just do it. If I could tell you something, just do it. Amen? Because His Word is alive. His Word is active. It will get on the inside of you. It will start to change you and shape you. And then, here's how grace works. The Word will start to create options in your thinking that may feel uncomfortable, that might be a little bit different than you would normally do, might even feel a bit risky, but grace will create the confidence to take that step. So as you're reflecting on the Word and you feel a sense of, ooh, I think I want to go this way instead of that way this time. That's grace trying to strengthen you, and you got to step into that. You got to go. You got to move. Because if you don't, your heart will just stay in the same place and you'll stay stuck. You got to be willing to step into it. You got to be, as scary as it might be, as risky as it might feel, as unusual and different as it might feel to you, you got to be willing to step into it. Amen? That's how grace works. Grace will supply the hope and the strength, but you got to take the step. And the Word will create the space to see, to help you see things differently, to move in that direction. It just will. Amen? Praise God. The Word of God is alive and active. Let it get in there. Let it change you. Let it shape you. Amen? Give the written Word the opportunity to become the living Word for you, and you will walk in peace and joy no matter what. I'm just telling you, it's how it works. Are you with me?
Yes.
Jesus is Lord. If you don't know Him today, let me just say this. It's very easy. If you're in this room and you've never said yes to Jesus and you'd like to just solidify it in your mind and welcome Him and make Him your Lord, accept what He did for you and receive His Spirit, you're in this room today, you've never done that, just lift up your hand, let me see. Just wave your hand at me. Some people sometimes are nervous, but this is how it works right here, Romans 10:9. It's not about a magic prayer, it's about what you believe in your heart. And this right here, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And if everybody in here is a believer, then go find some unbelievers and give them the gospel this week. Get your hands on them, pray for them, let the Spirit move through you, and get the word in you. Amen? All right. Happy Easter. Love you guys. Y'all have a great rest of your week. God bless you.